Proverbs 20 and verse 5. The Bible says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. The Proverbs writer talks about the heart of man. And this morning, that's going to be my basic thought, especially now this week having Valentine's Day within the week. And this time of the year is I think a good time to bring a message relative to the heart. And that's what I want to do today. But when the verse here says the heart of man, we can understand here that this is not just, you know, a generic or referencing just the man or the male, but the word man here has the thought or the idea of humanity as a whole. So not just man's heart, but all human beings, the heart of all human beings. Let's bow our heads today in prayer. Our Father, this morning, as we come to you in prayer, we do so, Lord, appreciative and thankful for what our ears have already heard. We thank you for the great gospel truths presented in these gospel songs. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that in this world with the darkness and with winter time and with a time of sickness for many, we thank you, Lord, that these things will end eventually in one way, shape, or the other. So, Father, this morning, bless us now and help us to understand a little bit more about the heart of man. Help us, Lord, today to have our understanding opened and our eyes opened to what it means when we talk about the human heart. But, Father, bless us now, and we'll thank you and praise you. And, Lord, today speak to hearts. And, Lord, there could be someone here this morning whose heart needs to be changed. And I pray today that the Spirit of God would work accordingly. May we all today as Christians realize the need that we have of rethinking some things and even having our hearts changed as well in some areas. So bless us now today, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I heard about a wedding that was in the makings, and the groom and the bride were making plans and trying to get everything set up for the wedding. And then the groom went to the pastor and he said, I'll give you $100 if you'll make a change on the vows. He told the preacher, now when you get to me and the part where I'm to promise to love, to honor, and to obey and forsaking all others to be faithful to her forever, he said, I'd appreciate it if you'd leave that part out. And then he passed the preacher a $100 bill and walked away satisfied. On the day of the wedding, as a couple now had assembled there in the front before the pastor, now ready to exchange their vows, when it came time for the groom to make his commitment with the vow that he had to share with his commitment to the bride, the pastor looked at the young man, looked him in the eye and said, he changed the vow around. The pastor said this to the man. He said, now, will you promise to humble yourself before her, to obey her every command and wish, to serve her breakfast in bed every day the rest of your life as long as you both shall live? The groom at that point in time, he gulped, he looked around, he said in a tiny voice, he said, yes. And then he leaned towards the preacher and he mumbled. He said, I thought we had a deal. The preacher put the $100 bill back in his hand and whispered back, she made me a better deal. You know, the heart has been adopted as a symbol of love in our Western culture. We will soon be celebrating Valentine's Day, of course, this week. You may be interested to know, and I'm sure many of you already know, something about the historical beginning, about the background for what we celebrate as Valentine's Day. Emperor Claudius II of Rome executed two men whose name happened to be Valentine on February the 14th, different years, but this took place in the 3rd century. Their martyrdom was honored by the Catholic Church with a celebration of St. Valentine's Day. St. Valentine's Day is an annual festival which is used to celebrate love, friendship, and admiration. Every year, on the 14th of February, people celebrate this day by sending messages of love and affection to spouses, family, and friends. The human heart has always been associated with emotions and pleasure and a symbol of love. Now, this passage of Scripture is not talking about the physical organ, the heart, the organ in the body that pumps blood. But this passage of Scripture is talking about the heart in a spiritual way. And the heart in a spiritual context is a central part of the emotions, the intellect, and the will of the human being. It's a central part. Since the heart is the seat of the emotions, the intellect, and will, viewing it in a spiritual way, it is somewhat of a command center. It's addressed in Scripture for that reason and is the target of investigation as to where a person is spiritually. When someone in a spiritual application or context talks about how's your heart, and preachers preach about the heart, and we read verse after verse in the Bible talking about the heart, we can understand that it's primarily talking about the central command center, the seat of the emotions, the intellect, and will. When David said, "Search me and know my heart," that's exactly what David was thinking. Now, understandably, God knows the heart. David said, "Search me and know my heart." There's a song that I wish was in our hymnal that simply says, "Search me, O God, and know my faults today." I don't know why our hymnal doesn't have that song, but I wish it was in it. It's an excellent song. And I was talking to Brother Mike, I'd like to even have that today for the invitation song, but we just don't have it in our hymn book. But it's such a good song because it's based upon what David said. "Search me. Search me and know my heart." Here in this Proverbs passage, this verse talks about the heart of man, not in a biological sense. The innermost part of man is a heart. It's the command center. What could be said about the heart in that respect? Well, scripturally, we know that the heart is a fountain of sin. It's the fountain of sin. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. It's desperately wicked. Salvation is a matter of the heart. The Bible says that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So salvation is a thing of the heart. Sin is associated with the heart. Salvation is a thing of the heart. And Christian service is a heart matter. The Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man." Do it heartily as to the Lord. Which would lead us to conclude that Christian service is a heart matter. It's a heart matter. Also, the Bible lets us know that sorrow is connected to the heart. John chapter 16, verse number 6, Jesus was speaking. He said, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." So sorrow is connected with the heart. We all today can relate to that truth. We have had sorrow in our heart. We've had sorrow in the form of grief. We've had sorrow in the form of some kind of perhaps maybe anxiety. Sorrow of the heart. It is a terrible thing to be heavy-hearted, to be loaded down with despair. So sorrow is connected to the heart. Worship is also a heart thing. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the expression of worship, even through song, which is also an aspect of worship, is to come from the heart. It is a heart thing. Then we must also say today that only God can strengthen the heart. We need His touch. We need His encouragement. David said, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So only God can strengthen the heart. You know, the first and the great commandment has to do with wholehearted love to God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37. So the first commandment has to do with the heart. This week, as we approach the celebration of a holiday that we celebrate every year, some maybe more so than others, but needless to say, it's still a holiday in our culture. But as we approach the holiday this week, and as we specifically think about the heart, could I give to you some thoughts today in reference to the heart? I'm not talking about that physical organ. I'm talking about that spiritual entity. I'm talking about that seat of the emotions, the intellect, and the will. What can we say about the heart? The heart of man is where sin originates. It's where sin originates. We've already referenced that verse. The heart is deceitful and above all things, and wicked. Who can know it? It's where sin originates. Heart trouble literally runs in the family in that respect. Every member of the human family has heart trouble. It runs in the family. One of the first things that will happen when you go to see your doctor and you're approaching physical solutions, having physical needs met, or surgery, or for medication, whatever the case might be, one of the first things the doctor wants to know is, what's the history? What is the history of this issue within your family? Cancer, person with cancer, does cancer run in your family? Person with a heart issue, questions asked, do you have heart issues within your family? Diabetes, is there diabetes that can be found in your family? It's always approached from the standpoint of heredity. Heredity. Is it in the family? Well, can I say today, as a Bible preacher, that heart trouble runs in the human family? It's in every person. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When we go back and examine the fall of man, man was originally in a state of innocence. Adam and Eve had it made in the Garden of Eden. They literally had it made. I mean, imagine what would have been the grand results if man had not sinned, if Adam and Eve had not sinned. Imagine what it would have been like. Hypothetically speaking, we wouldn't be having a need of this service this morning. Imagine the human race. If the human race would have been of such that Adam and Eve, quote unquote, would have kept their cool and not have sinned, imagine the impact that would have had on the human race. It would have been differently, wouldn't it? Imagine a world with no sin. Well, then imagine the millennium. Well, yes, We could talk about sins that will be committed by those in their natural bodies, but that's a prophetic message for another time. But in eternity, let me go that far. Imagine heaven. Imagine eternity for God's people. Imagine living in a world, an eternity, with no sin in any way, shape, or form. No bad thought. No problem with immorality. No problem with homicide. No problem, because it will be an eternity with no sin. But man fail. Man fail. I said before, almost looking at it from a human standpoint, you know, Adam and Eve need to be quarantined. They need to be safeguarded in heaven when all of us get there. Can you imagine the retribution that people will have? Well, no, you don't even go there, because we're not going to have retributive hearts anyway, are we? But that's just, you know, I'm just saying that though. But Adam and Eve sure did mess us up. They sure did. In other words, their sin has infected the entire human race. Because of one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's what happened. That's why there's spiritual heart trouble. It wasn't long till that heart trouble was noticed. Not long. There was a man by the name of Cain. That man slew another man by the name of Abel. They happened to be brothers. They happened to be two sons of Adam and Eve. But that heart trouble showed up because Cain slew Abel. So heart trouble. The Bible says in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. So the heart trouble causes the other issues that's caused our world today to be engulfed, to be bathed, to be soaked in wickedness. We're living in a wicked world, a dangerous world, a filthy world, a God-denying world, a world that has no place for God, a world that has no place for the Bible, a world that has no place for righteous living. Why? Because of Adam's sin. The heart needs mending. But I'm here today that nothing less than a heart transplant will do. God doesn't patch up the old heart. We need a new heart. Nothing less than a new heart will do. Then I would mention secondly today, the heart of man is where salvation enters. Where sin originated. But it's where salvation enters. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Salvation enters the heart. Look at two things. Look at religion, and then look at redemption. Religion says believe something, but the Bible says receive someone. Religion says it's about something, but salvation in the Bible says it's about a someone. You know, in 1967, the first heart transplant, first human heart was transplanted into human. 1967. Though I have said it once, I'll still say it again. God doesn't do a patch job on the heart. A new heart is the answer. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse number 7. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. And they shall return unto me with their whole heart. You know, a new creature means a new heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New creation. And that means a new heart. The new heart will never fail. It keeps on beating. Shock treatment won't be needed. It won't be. The new heart keeps on beating. I'm talking about the spiritual part. It keeps on beating. No shock treatment. Now, I can assure you, we get a good shock treatment when we first get that heart. We get a shock treatment when we're saved. We get a shock treatment when we are born again. Just like a child. You know, a child comes into this world kicking and crying. And normally a person goes out of this world kicking and crying. In a sense. They come into the world met by trauma. After the security in their mother's womb, those 9 months, warmth, security, near to the heart of their mother, for 9 months, their security is taken away. They're invaded. And now it's the world. It's the world. And I'll tell you, when a person's born again, they come into this world, the spiritual world, kicking and crying. They do. Shock treatment. When we're faced head on with sin, when we see the trauma of sin, when we realize our volatile condition, when we realize we're lost and undone and headed for devil's hell, in the context of the salvation experience, we tremble in our soul. We cry out in our soul. It's a traumatic experience in a spiritual way. That's what conviction does. But then, like that child is introduced to planet Earth with trauma. They've left their security. But now, in the physical sense, they're free to develop. They're free to mature. They're free to grow. They're free to develop. They couldn't do much developing, only to a certain point in their mother's womb. But now they're free. We go through the course of our life as a human being. And then let's say we meet our Savior. We're saved by God's grace. Then we come to another womb. We come to death's door. We kick, we cry, we fight the process of physical death. But once we pass through the birth canal, so to speak, and enter as a child of God into the realm of glory, into the realm of heaven, then we're free again. Free to expand, free to grow, free to develop such as never before. But you see, when it comes to the heart, though, the heart is where salvation enters. I was shocked the night that God saved me. And I'll be shocked to a certain degree, though calm, to the last breath, because I believe in God's delivering grace all the way. But it's going to be quite a shock, though, if I can use that word. I mean, imagine waking up in glory. Imagine the end of sorrow. Imagine no more cemeteries. Imagine no more phone calls like I received this morning of another death. Imagine the end of heartbreak. Imagine that. Oh, I'll tell you today, the most precious, the most valuable, the most dynamic, the most glorious experience that could ever happen to a person is not getting religious, but getting saved and having the righteousness of Christ. When I got saved, my old friend said, "We're going to have to do something about old Chuck Peters. He got religion." Little did they know, old Chuck Peters didn't get religion. Chuck Peters received the Savior. And that's what I'm talking about. That new heart. That spiritual heart. That spiritual awakening. Then let me hurry and say today, the heart of man is where service is performed. It's where service is performed. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. It's about with a whole heart. Get your heart in it. You know, somebody said, put it like this, and I'm addressing Christians now. It's good to be a Christian and know it, but it's better to be a Christian and show it. Too many are only going through the motions and are rendering lip service. It's also been said, the heart is the matter and is the matter of the heart. The heart is a matter of the heart. Let me give you a military illustration. The military awards a Purple Heart. The Purple Heart Medal is awarded, as we well know, to the wounded, and it's given posthumously to the next of kin if someone is killed in action. The Purple Heart is issued to combat veterans, and it reveals wholehearted sacrifice for this country. It reveals that, among other things. It says that person, as a military member, were willing to go the ultimate, to put their life on the line, to serve in combat duty, and some of them wearing to the grave, though physically alive, will carry to the grave the scars of combat. PTSD, mental anguish, physical impairment. There's the Wounded Warrior organizations we all well know. Many walking around today with one limb or missing both limbs. Many today have received head injuries and are incapacitated in mental ways because of combat duty. They bear in their body the marks for their service. They bear in their bodies the marks of war because of their love, their loyalty, and their sacrifice to our country. Now, I see a great carryover illustration. I see a great point here. Wholehearted service is what the Purple Heart says. Wholehearted service. I believe this. I believe that wholehearted service and sacrifice is equally accepted, in fact, in some ways even more so, to the soldier of the cross. To the soldier of the cross. Service for God is unacceptable if it's only a thing of the mind and the emotions, but pleasing God has to be of the heart. That's what I'm saying today. I make no apology. I will never apologize for telling my congregation, my church people, my flock of sheep, as your pastor, as your under shepherd, it is my duly given responsibility to preach and to teach in a way that will help the sheep. And what will really help every one of you as sheep within this pasture is to realize that there's nothing any more precious than wholehearted service for God. This is more than another Baptist sermon. This is a biblical truth that's taprooted throughout Scripture. We ought to give our whole hearts to Jesus Christ. Actually, when you stop and think about it, there shouldn't have to be hardly any sermons preached on the subject. It ought to be sell out to Christ. I love Him. I'll be loyal to Him because I'll never get over what He did for me at Calvary. And the least I want to do is totally give Him my whole heart. Amen. And others will know that I am as serious as a heartbeat. I'm as serious as a heart attack when it comes to the matter of serving my God. It ought to be a given. People that know the Lord, it ought to be a given. whenever the preacher preaches, be faithful, come to church, get baptized, get into church, it ought to be given. Because heart-rendered, whole-heart service will make that happen. We love Him because He first loved us. Let's quit making apologies. Let's quit justifying ourselves. Let's quit saying, I can't do this, can't do that, can't do another. My question to all of us today was, did God save you, first of all? And if your answer is yes, you've already come over an obstacle that only God can give victory over. And don't you think He'll give you the victory and the ability to do everything else after that? All it is a little cop-out. It's putting your strength higher than God's. Just do what the Lord would have you to do, and you'll be a happy sheep. Amen. And this preacher won't even have to mention it again. Though I will, because I love to preach what the Bible states. So anyway, wholehearted service for our God. Heads are bowed and our eyes are